Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Buddy Frank, who has been slot director or vice president of slots for decades at numerous casinos over the past several decades for both tribal and non-tribal casinos. Now he consults on slots. Buddy Frank, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Well, thanks, Bob. I hate that decades title, but it's true.
And I used it twice, huh?
Yeah, it's true, though.
Yeah, well, I've been in this business a few months myself. All right, so what has changed in video poker over the last year or so that our listeners might be interested in?
Well, if you talk about just recent events, it's probably more people trying to take a shot at that giant monopoly known as IGT. And over the years, there's been lots of people who've tried. You and I have talked, and the variants come and go, but no one other than an old manufacturer called Pot of Gold in Southern California, I never saw a machine really challenge the IGT. But there's a couple of folks out there now that I think have a pretty good shot.
Oh, yeah.
And at least in certain little narrow niches, no one's going to take on that IGT game overnight. But Aristocrat, who's been around a long time, in fact, probably the leader in video slot machines out on the floor.
Are they an Australian company?
They're Australian, but they're really dominant. They're the number one game in the United States right now on the video side of things. You know some of the popular titles like Buffalo, Buffalo Grand, Buffalo Everything, Buffalo Stampede. They're doing great. And then the one that's really hot right now, there's two. One is Lightning Link, and the other one, the follow-on game, Dragon Link. But they introduced, they did it first at the Indian Gaming Show, which is in early March. They introduced a new poker bar top. And interestingly, it was their product director is a guy who, John Daly, who had that same role at IGT for years.
I knew John.
Yeah, John's a good guy and a great, you worked with him closely on poker products for years, but he's an Aristocrat and he does worldwide development. But he, along with the team at Aristocrats, developed a new bar top and it's out now. It got through its field trials, I think, in June of this year and got official in a couple of places in July. Down in Southern California at the big Indian casinos, they've introduced it down there. So
on class three level?
On a class three level, it's a straight video poker game. And what's the big deal about that? Because IGT owns it. It's a nice looking box. But there's a couple of nice things, and you and I have talked about a few of them in the past. The angle is really good, and that makes a difference on the bar tops, getting the angle so you can see it well. It's really isolated against drink spill. Now, I talked to him, and I thought, hey, maybe they'll go to a video button panel because then the drinks won't ever bother it. And John went, no, we'll never, ever go to a drink panel because he told me that players like you guys like the feel of those buttons. So he said they'll never go to those touch screens. And if you think about it, some of the slot touch screen, the response is really slow or iffy or whatever. And if someone scratches that touch screen, you don't get. So he's staying with traditional button. But he's got some other nice little features. Like I say, it's really proof for liquids. The button panel is easily changeable and easily cleaned. One thing I liked, which a couple of folks like the Route folks at Golden have done on their own, but Aristocrat's doing it now, they have a bartender light on the back of the machine. And the operators, the casino guys like me, can set that up either on total coin in or amount wage, that coin in is amount wagered, or amount won or lost. They can set that up to that light comes on and lets the bartender know that they're approved for a drink. That's a kind of an efficiency thing for casinos. You know, it's always a problem of, is a bartender giving away too many comps or not enough, or which customers deserve it, and you got a really good customer down there that's getting ignored. So it's probably a nice little touch for the operators to make them more efficient in serving their best customers.
Unless you're a drink hustler who tries to get the most drinks for the least amount of play.
There are people like that, and that happens, you know. So that's the whole thing about a bar. It's a good environment. You know, I'd love if you repeat this. I asked you when I was first doing a story about these products, how Bob Dancer, one of the best well-known poker players, and I think one of the best poker players in the industry. What was your difference between playing a bar machine versus a stand-up video? And your answer was?
I don't know what it was. I can tell you what it is. One thing about doing this for several months is you don't always remember what you said several more months before that. My major concern on a bar top is sticky buttons. And so I will frequently move from machine to machine, finding one with buttons I can play. Some casinos are good about fixing it when there's a problem. Some aren't. There are places where not all the bar top machines have all the games on it. The games are not the same. And so if you're playing progressives, for example, they might have the progressives only on four or five machines and the rest of the bar doesn't have them. Or they might have an all-star poker game with a totally different mix of games and Game Kings on the other. So,
one of the issues, I don't play a lot, but the issue that I often have is on the bar tops, there's some light that's reflected in the glass that just makes it hard to read the machine. And you would think that they would try to fix that, but...
That's interesting you say that. Slant tops have a similar problem. And, you know, we're in the age, Bob and I, in coming to the studio today, we're talking about, I was mentioning I'm doing some consulting with analytics companies. And I believe that a certain percentage, I would say 60 or 70% of slot directors need to do their analytics a lot better. But some people do analytics too much. And I've noticed just what you said. They'll do analytics and say, this machine's terrible. But they won't go down to the floor to look and see that there's a light shining right over to make the screen bad, and that's why it's terrible. Or there's a, this sounds ridiculous, but there's a drip in the ceiling and it's dripping. Or the air conditioning in your ear or whatever.
Yeah.
So I've always said you need a nice balance. You need analytics. Everybody should do more of their analytics, I think. But you also need to get down there on the floor and be a player, be with your customers, talk to your customers, be down on the floor. But those lights in the screen, I mentioned that Aristocrat had a pretty good slant on it. And I think the newer IGT cabinets do as well. But no matter what slant you do, if you don't look at it, you're going to get a light. And it's easily solved. You either change the light bulb, move it, move the machine. But these are things operators need to do, get down on the floor and play. And I've often been critical of some of the big corporate guys who just let the analysts run it. They don't do that enough.
Yeah, one problem I have at bar tops is there's usually a bartender on the other side of the bar wanting to serve drinks and get tips. And when I'm playing, I tend to have my water and play and just not, I'm not there to drink. And that bartender's there to get tips. And so, but if I tick off the bartender, they can easily say to their bosses, you know, that guy in the third chair is probably a serious player. We ought to check him out closely. And of course, that's the last thing I want, but it happens.
There's two things he can say. One, he can say you're a really good player, meaning you're putting a lot of money in that machine, which is to your benefit. The other is you're too good a player and look at him. Tips, I have a love-hate affair with tips as an operator. I mean, I want my team to make really good tips because they're happy campers, want to work there, and really, really value their job. On the other hand, it presents some problems to the guest. One of the biggest pains, and I'm sure you've encountered this, is once you hit a jackpot in Nevada that's $1,200 and above, that triggers some paperwork things. You know, you have to stop, and depending on the casino, you have to do certain things. We've got other requirements when you hit what's called a CTR level. But the biggest one is that $1,200 thing, which happens to fall right in a nice range of one of the quarter machine's jackpots. You have to stop.
Well, if they have progressives.
Yeah. But, well, even the dollar machine at the $4,000 level, when you get that jackpot, I've been bugging the American Gaming Association, and so is AGM, to try to work with Washington to raise that threshold. What other $1,200 item is still $1,200 almost 30 or 40 years later.
Exactly.
We want to get that raised to, me, I would like to see it at $5,000. Some people would talk $10,000. But if we got that raised to $5,000, it would be a wonderful thing. I think, I'm looking at you, Bob, and are you shaking your head? That'd be good for you to not have to have that $1,200 taxable level?
Well, video poker players, as a rule, are highly in favor of that simply because it will, many people do not pay taxes on their winnings. They pay taxes on their W2Gs, which is not the same thing. If you get fewer W2Gs, the tax revenue from gamblers is going to go way down. So the IRS...
Right. Everybody would be in favor of this except the IRS.
Yes. There's somebody else who wouldn't like it.
Yeah, the IRS is going to go, if we do that, we're going to cut back taxes by X number of $1 million. And if we're going to do that, we got to make it up somewhere else.
Well, a quick disclaimer. You're supposed to pay, if you put in a quarter and win 75 cents, you're supposed to declare that as a
of
win.
Of course, yeah.
No one does that. We all know that. You usually declare what the we make you declare, which is anything above 1200 and above. But by the way, it's not just video poker players. $100 slot play, I mean, a $25, $100. You get those $1,200 things so often, it just makes your experience go down because you're constantly stopping it. Machines, you got to wait for the guy to key it. The other person besides the IRS who wouldn't like that is those tip earners.
That's right.
Because yes. They relish that opportunity to come see you when you won a $2,000 jackpot or even a $1,250 because there's an expectation. Players don't like that. And it would be much better for players, but the staff, they would be upset. And I've learned that you got to keep both those groups happy.
Well, but then they should pay them. You know what I mean? They should pay them. Pay them enough to keep them happy and not put the onus on the players.
Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah.
They're going to tighten the slot machine. And they will still want the tips.
Yeah.
Well, after a certain number of years, the older people who used to get them will have phased out and that'll be, a quaint custom from the past.
God, I wish we could settle that here today. I don't think we will. Yeah. It's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of arguments. So it's really a shame. But there is a strong effort to get that taxable limit raised because it's just crazy.
The other thing is the government knows that they're screwing people because the vast majority of people who are paying taxes on that gambling income are not net winners. So they're ending up paying taxes on a jackpot when they actually have net lost money gambling.
Well, God, I hope you give me a few minutes just to talk about the taxes because I think it's the most unfair thing in the United States. And God knows you ought to read some of the good books out on how to deal with taxes here. But it is so sad. I don't think most people realize that, let's say I went in the casino, I have $100 to spend. And I walk down and I'm a lucky son of a gun. Like Bob Dancer always used to be in my casinos, and he'd win a lot of jackpots. He'd have a lot of fun. He'd be there 5-6 hours. He may have won multiple jackpots in that time. But let's say it's not one of his luckiest nights, and at the end of the night, he is broke. So I have made $100 at the casino, and Bob has lost $100. But if he was just an average player and didn't know what he'd do, and he'd go home, and at the end of the year, he'd find out he had a massive tax bill.
Right.
Let's say he won multiple dozen or more jackpots. He may go home and have a $6,000 tax bill for the privilege of losing $100.
Right.
Now, there's ways, if you know what you're doing, to offset that. But it's
in some states
not as simple as simply getting a win-loss statement from the casino because sometimes the IRS doesn't take those at face value.
And they probably shouldn't.
They can be manipulated. You can do different things. But my advice to average consumers, and again, this you'll see this in a lot of the books, is do a couple of things. One is use your ATM card, which I don't recommend because there's a percentage attached, which is usually too high. But use personal checks to start your gaming sessions instead of cash. And then also keep a log, a diary.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't make it out the night of April 14th, but that you keep a regular log. So if you go in with a log, your record of checks spent, and your win-loss statement, you'll probably do pretty well with the IRS audits. And I've sat in on a couple of those on behalf of customers testifying, you know, that it's valuable. But you can read that, and sometimes you don't want to report, and sometimes you do. And again, I think I'm forgetting the name of the tax book that Anthony Curtis published, but it's wonderful.
Tax Help for Gamblers.
Tax Help for Gamblers. I highly recommend everybody get that book and read it.
Especially when Russell became part
of Russell Fox. That's the latest edition. I'm not a big fan of the earlier editions, but the latest edition, the newest one, I just love it. Everybody should get that book. Don't go to a casino without it. It's kind of my advice. In other words, just read it. There are a lot of good tips in there.
But here's another thing. Like the casinos, I mean, not the casinos, the manufacturers could solve this problem very easily. Instead of having a royal pay $4,000, let's take a dollar machine where it pays $4,000.
Right.
Well, they could just enter a bonus round and you're going to get 10 draws where your EV is still going to be $4,000, but you do it over 10 separate events and each one is separate. Oh. So you win 10 $400 events.
Poor Richard, you're naive. That isn't how it works, but there is a way to do that.
Yeah, they do it on other slots.
No, they don't.
On slots.
They should, but they don't. What happens is you have the way the government treats it right now is they look at what the bet was and the total outcome. When triple play poker first came out, a lot of my customers claimed that. I only won 800, 800, and 800 on those three. Therefore, I never hit the and
but
the
you
government
can design
said,
the game so that
here's how you do it though. You have to make another bet for each one of those bonus rounds. There was a couple of games IGT did on that a couple of years earlier, and the customers didn't understand and were getting angry. Why have I got to put in more? Even though that pay table was like 250%, you almost couldn't lose. You could lose, but hardly ever.
Right.
But they had to make another bet, and it wasn't popular. I'm a big fan of that. I bug the manufacturers to make a game like that to do that. That's why a lot of the jackpots that people love on regular slots are $11.99. You hit that, and then do a bonus round that's also $11.99 and multiple. Bally did produce one and has it out. Hasn't been a big hit yet, though.
Or you can create a pay schedule on dollar machine that royals pay $1,000, and four of a kinds all pay $700, $800, whatever makes the math work.
Yep.
And so that all you can get a lot of jackpots. It can be whatever EV range that you want, but no jackpot is over $1,200.
Now, see, here's the problem. Bob thinks all players know their math fairly well, and those who buy his programs and get his software probably do. But I remember I was at a casino in Southern California at a place called Pechanga, and when I first arrived there, I went out and saw that the poker machines were pretty tight, and the keno machines were pretty tight. So I loosened everything. Half the players didn't appreciate that I'd loosen them because they just didn't know. But I loosened the keno and they hated it. Because if you look at a loose keno program, it takes it away from that big $10,000 top award and puts it in the middle of the pay table. And it's much looser and a much better pay table. But they went crazy because they saw the $10,000 wasn't there. I can't remember exactly. I think it went down to $1,000 or $1,200. And they were outraged, thought I'd tightened them when I'd actually loosened them. And I immediately put it back because I'm going, you want to give me more money, that's fine. And I've often found, I've worked in casinos where we had single lot roulette and double lot roulette, and I'll find just as many players on the double lot. And so you have to be a knowledgeable gambler. And that's what's tough for an operator. I used to really dislike quality players like Bob because I would have this group of average players, and I wanted to set up a game that was loose for them, 2 or 3% or so for them. But if I did that, the advantage players would come in, and it was really hard to make a profit. This was back in the days in Nevada when you could have a 100-plus game, and almost before we had good rewards programs.
You still can.
California, you can't by law, but in Nevada, you can. But it was tough because I couldn't do a game to please both audiences. And it's the same thing with this taxables.
Yeah.
You know? So many casinos today are solving that by having the relatively loose games and kicking players out who have a pulse. And that's the way they handle that problem.
You hate kicking anyone out, though. You know,
well, some people hate it more than others.
Yeah. What about, you know, there's this big move now here in Las Vegas to throw out slot players, not video poker, slot players. You know, because the casinos feel like they're he's grabbing his head.
I have a great friend in marketing, Mary Loftness. She's one of the better marketing. And we were talking about when I was writing my article
about.
I met
her in San Diego.
Yeah, she did. We were down there together, and she was on one of our panels. But we were talking about this phenomenon, loose versus tight slots. And I've written some articles, got a lot of feedback about the articles. I'm a big fan of looser slots. And she made the comment, which players don't you want in your casino? And that's my whole point. You talk about the nickel video poker, and I've heard so many people say nasty things about nickel video poker on the operator side. And I go, if you didn't have that product, they simply wouldn't be in here. And guess what? We make money off nickel video poker players, you know, if we have a normal marketing program. And they shill the floor. They provide tips to your service staff. They make the environment better. And we make a little bit of money out of there. If we took that product out, they wouldn't be there. What's wrong with that? Well, the only thing that'd be wrong if your casino was so popular, it was full all the time. But you can walk around Las Vegas. No one here in Las Vegas is even remotely close to what we have in California. They're not full, except on certain periods of time. So why not have product for that crowd and products for all the crowds? Sadly, it's not going that way. People are pricing games up and selecting their segments, which to me seems silly.
Richard's point, though, which you didn't address, is that there's a number of slots today where you can see by looking at the screens that if it has a certain number of stars in certain position or a certain number of dragons in certain position, the game is in a positive state. And players specialize in those games, and they come in and they only play it when they're in a positive state. And then they check all the games in your house for that, and then they move on to the next casino. Those are the players the slot directors are kicking out. And the slot directors feel they basically can't beat those players.
We call that persistence bonusing, meaning you play a game for a while and the game gets in a better condition. And I'm going to go back a number of years. There was a game, the first one I ever saw was from IGT called Diamond Mine. And you played it and you got more diamonds and pretty near the end, it was ready to hit. Well, then, believe it or not, I hate to say this, but we'd have players sit down, they would light up a cigar. They would start belching. They would not take showers for weeks at a time, and they would sit down on that game and do that.
They would sit down next to the player.
Yeah, try to get him off that game so they could get on. They'd be obnoxious or loud or whatever. And you know, we have all kinds of names for those. Silver miners, a term name for a different crime, but it was almost like that. They would run off for good players. Our good friend Ernie Moody is getting into the Gaming Hall of Fame.
He
got it here a few weeks back. It was announced, and they awarded it at the G2E show that was recently held here a few weeks ago. And he invented a game called Ultimate X, and it has a persistence bonus. But the beauty of his versus the Diamond Mine was it was only three hands away maximum. And I don't think anyone would get up on that game when it was only three away. Certainly the 12X. If you saw a 12X bonus, you would think those bonus chasers would try to get that. But it was hard to get that guy off the game if it was only. And I thought that was a way of doing a persistence bonus that didn't get people chasing it like the ones you described.
Well, Ultimate X bonus chasing is alive and well.
But it's not as severe, I don't think.
Possibly. But if you're playing on an Ultimate X and there are other Ultimate X machines by you, at least in Vegas, you will see somebody come by every half hour, check every Ultimate X machine that's on there. Then they'll move on. And a half hour later, somebody else will come do it. So Ultimate X bonus hustling is alive and well. It has nothing to do with the process that you just described.
Well, because it's only three, it's not as bad.
It's not three. It's one.
No, yeah, the number of hands coming down.
Well,
what I'm talking about, you see the bonus first.
Mm.
You get a 12X on there, then it moves down, then it moves down.
Now you're talking about bonus streak. Ultimate X bonus streak, which is a different game than Ultimate X.
Yes.
And, yeah, Ultimate X bonus streak, you cannot play off all the bonuses because you keep earning them.
Yeah, they come fairly frequently, but the biggest ones you usually will try to play off.
So,
and I just found it worked better than that. The other example, I mentioned that pot of gold machine before. We would get huge progressives. They get to a certain point, and then we would have teams come in and play that. And we tried to figure out how to stop them. First of all, we would say things like, you have to be local. Well, all the team players were local, so that didn't work real well. And then we tried other things that said, you can occupy all the seats but one. Well, they would hire someone else to be that random person that was, you know, so it was hard to get after them. The casinos had a tough thing there because for me, it was manna from heaven. I was making more money no matter whose money it was. It's just a lot of operators felt that it was unfair to the regular players who helped build the jackpot. It's always been a tough bonus. So,
yeah, suddenly they have such care for their regular players that help build the jackpot. I mean,
many people do. And that was always a concern for us. But how do we stop it? It's really hard for an operator to stop it. They go undercover. They have disguises. They do all kinds of things, the teams. It was very, very hard to stop. And I know it sounds incredible because I was making more money by all those players playing. But I didn't like it that the guys who were there every day were feeling bad and not happy about it. So one of those funny things, which audience do you prove? But the only bonus chasers I ran out were the ones who were really rude and obnoxious about it and upsetting to other guests. It's sad to hear it's in Vegas. When I first answered your question, I thought you were referring more to the fact that the machines are just getting tighter and they don't like that lower-end player.
No, and, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about these studies where there are a couple of statisticians who have done the study where they are claiming that the players can't tell the difference when you tighten the machines, so you might as well just raise the hold on the machines.
Richard, the name of his article was "It's a Myth That Players Can Tell," and I wrote the thing back. It's not a myth. They can tell. So I'm a big proponent of they can tell, and I've cited lots of evidence. There's a couple other folks out there now who are joining my side, but the industry is split. Usually CFOs and general managers love Anthony Lucas's and Catherine Spilday's articles saying players can't tell. And then I think in my last article, I pointed to the example of here on the Strip. They had last year, if you look at all 12 months, they had about a 3 point. I may have the figures off. You read my article, you get exact. But they had about a 3.8% growth. And they'd added something like 160 machines from the previous year and had about a 3.8% growth. And then I said, if you look at North Las Vegas, and they were the tightest they'd ever been, about 8.2% average strip machines. And I pointed out, if you just go a few miles and go to North Las Vegas, their games are about 2-3% looser. They'd actually lost about 150 machines, and their win was up about 5%. So my comment was, loose, not greed, is good. And it just bothers me that people are tightening up the machine, especially when they don't have it. And it's, well, Reno is a lot better in this respect, I think, than Las Vegas, because you guys are suffering through your free parking wars. Certainly, everyone is outraged about resort fees. 6-5 blackjack just drives me crazy, and hard to find loose slots.
Oh, we got triple zero roulette.
Yeah, triple zero roulette now too.
Oh my God.
We let's change subjects a little bit.
I never finished about the pokers, though, to tell you what's new.
Well, all right. Then continue.
I mentioned Aristocrat came out earlier this summer, late summer, with a new game. But Scientific Games showed a new game. We all saw it at G2E. They're taking a run at that. Again, a bar top. But guess another little company called IGT is also introducing a brand new box they're going to have out. They've kind of previewed it to a few folks, but they're introducing a new thing. And when I wrote an article about the bar tops, I said, well, every IGT machine works, but they don't. I mean, IGT, with their Game King, which you'll find is the king of all the older cabinets, was wonderful. And then they came out with a new cabinet themselves, and it didn't work real well. They had to pare back. It was called AVP Video. Some worked, some didn't. People didn't particularly like the buttons and the screen and everything else. In fact, at least one major locals casino group here in Las Vegas, they had IGT build brand new old boxes instead of that AVP platform to get it. Now, the newer ones that have come out, the newest versions, seem to be accepted by poker players, the G20, they call it. And it seems to have satisfied the poker. So casinos that have switched the G20 haven't noticed a drop. When they went from the Game King, the classic, to the AVP, some people did see a fall off and didn't buy them. But so the reason I mention that, it'll be interesting to see if IGT's new platform is well received among poker players or not.
And now go on to a different subject.
Yes, of course.
Thank you. You used to work for Eldorado.
Yes.
Eldorado recently purchased Caesars Entertainment, and that will probably go through.
When I worked there, we ran one casino, and now they made several. They bought Mountaineer and Gaming first, then they bought the Isle of Capri's, and now they've purchased the largest gaming company in the world, Caesars.
How do you think Caesars, presumably they'll keep the name Caesars, and Seven Stars and like, will be changed under Eldorado management?
I don't know, Bob. I'll tell you this. They always had a couple of hallmarks that set them apart from everybody else in the industry. One is they had great food, just really quality food. And I've always found out with food that when people complain about the food, I hear some people say it's too expensive. And I said, why? And they said, well, I paid $29.95 for it, for the buffet. And I went, was it? I can take you to $29 buffet that you'll go, that's the greatest in the world. So if you have quality, the value is there. Eldorado's always been known for great food. In Reno, they have pretty loose slots, Bob. In fact, I'm stunned in Reno that on the Eldorado's main floor, just last week I go in there and the jacks are better and great 9-6 pay tables sitting right there. In fact, one of them had a progressive on it, which I couldn't believe. I didn't put enough money in to see what the increment rate was. I'm sure it was small. And no one was playing it. And I think it's because they're in downtown Reno. But I just point that out to say that they have some loose slots. And they have a kind of a moderate stance as far as leased and premium products. And I noticed in their filings with the SEC, they said one of the things they're going to do to save cost, obviously consolidate management and save people there. But they were going to reduce their share of participation products. These are some of the branded and wide area progressives, you said. And that kind of matches their Reno philosophy. Who knows what will happen when you take on a great thing. But I'm hoping they come out with great food and hoping they come out with some looser products for people. They've always had great facilities, too.
Very good. We're going to take a brief break, have some commercials. And since we have more sponsors these days, we haven't quite worked out how long this is going to take. So we'll have to find out. All right. South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. The October promotions are over, and we are taping this in early October and do not have the November promotion schedule yet. We'll be talking about that later, or later in the month you can go to southpointcasino.com and find out what they are. The final video poker class of the season will be on November 5th, called Secrets of a Video Poker Winner, starting at noon in the Silverado Lounge. What the Secrets class talks about is what the winning process is all about. What game should you be playing? dealing with taxes, the differences between winners and losers, things not having to do with do you play a high pair or a three-card royal, nothing to do with the play of the hands, but more how the winning process all works out. It's one class only, starting at noon. At predictit.org, there's a market where you can place small bets on the currents of various political events, mostly but not entirely in the United States. There are a number of different bets on whether Trump will be impeached within various time periods, for example, who will the Democratic nominee be, who will win the 2020 election, etc. If you want to bet on who the next prime minister in Israel will be, you can do that too. Now, Gambling with an Edge listeners receive a one-time offer of a deposit match up to $20 at predictit.org/promo/edge. You must play the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. Between this show and the next one, I plan to sign up with the promo code, of course, and place a $20 bet on Trump not being impeached by the end of this year, and another $20 bet that he will be impeached by the end of the first term. It is a straddle of sorts. Whether it's the smartest straddle or not, you can offer your opinion on that. I don't really care. Part of it is I want to get in there and do it so I have more knowledge about what I'm talking about every week.
Yeah, last I checked, he is a dog to be impeached by the end of the year, but a favorite to be impeached before the end of his first term.
And that sounds right.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. And, you can also get local. I mean, you can bet on local Senate races and, congressmen and all kinds of stuff. And if you don't see a bet that you want to make, you can suggest it to them. And they will put those up pretty quickly. So, yeah.
You know, when I was young, I was a TV journalist, and we were really respected, and casino guys were kind of, not so respected.
Right.
The world's kind of changed, you know. But I'll make one prediction about the election. I know who the big winner is. It's the broadcasters. I don't know if you know about this, but there's a law that says all political ads have to be paid for up front. And with all this money, I've already seen them massively starting in Reno already. All the candidates are spending money on TV advertising. They love it. They really love ballot propositions that are controversial, because then money flows in from both sides. And in California, there's always one or two of those every year. But this year, with the presidential election, there's going to be money all over. And the big winners are going to be the TV station owners.
Yeah.
BlackjackApprenticeship.com is an excellent site for those of you who wish to be successful at counting cards at blackjack. They have a variety of training programs. They have a forum which is participated in by a lot of knowledgeable players. Colin Jones, who runs the site, posts a number of free videos on YouTube. You can check out if his teaching style works for you. And there are more than 100 videos behind a paywall. There are different levels of membership you can do. Every few months, they have a two-day intensive blackjack boot camp for those ready to move on to the next level. One of the advantages of this boot camp is they'll network with working pros from all over the country. There's a whole lot of tips you can get from those already doing it that you're not going to get with individual study. And often they have outside celebrities of sorts giving small talk, like Tommy Hyland has done this, Andy Block. There's a guy named Richard Munchkin who shows up every now and then and gives a talk.
No, I haven't given any talks there, but I show up to the parties sometime.
Well, Bob or
John Chang has
John
done
Chang
it.
Has yeah, done it. So. And Richard Munchkin's co-host from the podcast has shown up there to give a talk once. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. For a few dollars more per month, you can sign up for the Pro membership. This is the only trainer that corrects you when you're wrong on all Ultimate X triple play, and five play variations. It works on all platforms. If this is a game you play for serious money, you definitely need the pro membership. All right, we are back talking to Buddy Frank.
I want to say something. You just came out of a commercial break talking about videopoker.com. I teach classes to slot directors and sometimes just to consumers. And two things I always pitch to them. One, go to videopoker.com if you want to play all the latest games. If you want to just get better at your games, buy Bob Dancer software. You know,
I knew I liked you for some reason, buddy.
Hey, not only do I recommend that to average players, it was really good for poker pros. I used to mess around with the pay tables and went, what point does the jackpot go positive? Well, with your program, you can just put it in there and say, hey, now it's gone positive. And that would be my tip to go down and see who's playing. But I could try different pay tables. There's all kinds of things you can do with those programs. But the best is it just made me into a better poker player by playing that. You know, I hate that big error, do you want to go ahead kind of thing. But it made me a better video poker player without too much effort.
Yeah, the correction does make a difference from those programs. And if you don't practice using computerized help, you really have no idea of what a bad player you are. Suited Royals. Don't see them so much anymore. Why is that, Buddy Frank?
I wish I knew. One is they didn't carry the program forward on their bundled games at IGT. I'm forgetting the name of them for right now, but All-Star. They didn't put the program in the All-Star. It's still out there. A slot director can buy it as an individual program, but it wasn't on the bundled programs that are so easy to use. And I think that led to a decline. I liked it because, especially if you put a progressive on it, that almost always one of those
meters... Well, you have to, otherwise there's no need for Suited Royals. There's no...
That's what I thought until I found a couple of them around town.
So you can get a royal in hearts that'll pay you 4,000 coins, and a royal in spades that'll pay you 4,000 coins.
Which
and a
is
royal.
Terrible. I've seen it a couple places, and I go, you know, those slot directors, you got to remember that not everybody is very aggressive and good. There are a lot of excellent slot directors in Las Vegas and Reno. But there are a lot of bad ones floating around the world, too. Yes, I've seen it without progressives. But with progressives, the value was usually one of those meters is way up there in the positive territory. The other ones are probably down near reset or low. And that always attracted players. And one thing I hated with this, let's say a standard bar progressive, the meter will get up to $5,000 and everybody will be playing it. And then, boom, it's down to $4,000 and the bar is empty again. Well, with your suited royal, they kind of chase the other one. The math isn't that good, but to me, it works out really well, and it creates interest in the game, and they have other jackpots to chase. So I love the game for that reason as an operator. Obviously, if it disappeared, it must not have been a big hit everywhere, but I really enjoyed the game because of that. Does it change your strategy at all?
Of course.
Yeah.
The way to play it is, first of all, you take the average royal amount and figure out, is this game worth it? If you were playing, if it started out as 8-5, jacks are better, which starts out as 97.3 on a dollar machine, and the royals were, say, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, and $8,000, you would take the average of those, which I think might be 6,500, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And say, well, would 6,500 and 8-5 bonus be a good play? And the answer rhymes with snow. But were that number high enough, then it's okay to sit down and play. But you need a different, so in case it was 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, and 12,000 or something, that would be an excellent game to play EV-wise. But your strategy for 12,000 is different than your strategy for 7,000, a different strategy for 8,000. So if you have, for example, a jack 10 of spades and a queen of hearts, whether you hold the queen jack or the jack 10 can depend on the level of the progressive. So if it was a jack 10 of spades and the spade royal was high, you'd go the jack 10. If it was a jack, ten of hearts, and they were near reset, then you'd hold the queen, jack. So it is possible to do well at it. It is not that difficult, but you need to have four different strategies in your mind. It's not a trivial accomplishment.
And it's going to be much higher variance if there's a big discrepancy between the one royal that's really high and the rest that are all very low.
Yeah, you can hit the hearts, which is only 4,023, and hit a royal, and damn, I'm disappointed. So,
you know, I mentioned earlier, we were talking about videopoker.com, and I recommended that you get Bob's program, the Pay Table, but they have a little app out there that I don't hear many people talking about. It's just called Pay Tables, and it's a videopoker.com, and while I highly recommend you get the program, this one's just so good for especially innocent players when they're looking at starting a game or want to recognize a simple game out there. You can just come here, and all it does is list the common pay tables. And so for someone who doesn't want to spend a lot of time, it's a quick reference to the odds. They don't have them all on there, but they got a lot of the ones that most people like, and it's part of videopoker.com. It's just called, it's an app called Pay Tables. And
yeah.
I think it's a quick little resource. Now, the main app, you can go look and figure out the pay tables, or Bob's, you can really do it and learn how to maximize, because you got to remember, when we talk about jacks or better, my favorite game is the 9-6 games at 99.54. Well, the guy sitting next to you, Richard, probably plays it pretty close to 99.54. Buddy probably plays it at 98 if I'm a good day. And your average player who's not a video poker player, doesn't read anything, is probably playing it at 96. So that investment in learning makes these different. But why not start with a looser one? Because if I'm playing the 99.54 and playing at 98, what do you think I do if I'm starting at the 95 game? I'm way down there. So I think this is a good little app. I think it's free.
Probably
it's
would be.
And it's on there. It's a nice little app to have in your pocket, so you can come to any game, double-double, whatever, and look, and you can see what the pay tables are.
Yeah, and I've seen it. It's a good app. It doesn't include everything. For example, in double-double bonus, there's a slightly over 100% version called 10-6, which is 100.06, where it has 250 for the straight flush. But 10-6 with 200 for the straight flush pays 99.95 or thereabouts. So this has 10-6 as the with the 250. Does not have 10-6 with the 200. So, and Buddy just said that it's 100.08 rather than 100.06, and I stand corrected, and I hate making huge mistakes like that, but I'll get over it.
By the way, in case you don't know, in Nevada, you can have a game at 101 or whatever. California, by law, it cannot exceed 100. Interesting. Nevada law in regular slots allows you to set them as tight as a 75 or 25% hold, whereas California, you can't exceed 20%. So, strange laws. You never know why they decided on certain numbers.
All right. We have about 3 minutes left for you, buddy, before Richard and I go into our recommended section. And you have a comment on your notes called New Progressive Meter Replacements. What is that all about?
A couple of companies are producing LCDs or LEDs, and they can display anything. And the older Game King machine I talked about, like if you're at one of my favorite places like the El Cortez downtown, you'll notice a lot of those, I guess you call them dot matrix meter. They look pretty cool. And half the time, half the lights are burned on them because those things are 25, 30 years old, those meters, and it's hard to keep them going. So a couple of companies now produced an LCD that goes in there. And the neat thing about it is that can look just like the original Micon three-color meter. Or it can be zippy doodah, send messages, happy birthday, Bob. It can have a meter with really stylized letter, whatever. It actually gives new life to those old games and make them look good. And I think that's a nice trend. They're also doing that for slot machines, like Blazing Sevens meters are the same thing, and they can put that nicer LCD in there. They're not cheap, but they really give new life to those older games. And I think that Game King will go on forever. A lot of us did replacement motherboards, which can run the newer programs. And as long as you keep your button deck clean and operating well, and you can do, almost everybody now has upgraded their screens to go LCDs instead of the old old vacuum tube monitors in there. So that Game King isn't going anywhere soon, especially when you do something neat like these new meters in the machines.
All right. Thank you very much, Buddy Frank. Very likely you're going to hear from Buddy Frank on next week's show, too. We are taping this immediately prior to the G2E Global Gaming Expo event, which happens in Las Vegas. It is the biggest trade show for computer products. So I will be there all day on one day next week, be writing down notes as to what I saw, what I liked, what I didn't like. Buddy is too. So after that day, we're going to come back into the studio and talk about what we liked about G2E and what we didn't like.
Yeah, it's casino products, not computer products.
Did I say computer?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Computers are there too.
A lot of computers. All right.
Happy Nevada Day.
So right now we're into the section which we call recommendations, where Richard and I recommend something that we've come across recently. We tend to recommend different sorts of things from each other. My recommendation today is I want to talk about a TED Talk video from David J.P. Phillips called The Magical Science of Storytelling. Now, Rich and I regularly tell stories in front of audiences, but everyone in our audience sometimes has to tell stories to pit bosses, spouses, bosses, somebody else. What is learned in this video will do you well. What this video talks about and how to create in your audience different levels of hormones. Specifically, it tells you how to increase different levels of dopamine, oxycontin, and endorphins, which will put your audience into a more receptive mode for what it is that you want to get them to do. It also tells you how to avoid creating levels of cortisol and adrenaline, which will put them in a rather negative mood. This creates other benefits, but usually those are called detriments. So it's a nice little skill to be able to tell a story and create the mood in your audience of whatever it is that you want.
Sounds like this is the first I've heard about this. I will definitely listen to it, but it sounds like it would be great for people who are out there trying to be in the dating scene, having that kind of.
Yeah, it will help you get laid, that's for sure. Also, good salesmen probably would benefit from having this because they want to get their audience into a yes kind of mood.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that sounds interesting. I will definitely check that out. My recommendation this week is a podcast called The Moment, and it's done by Brian Koppelman, who is one of the producers and writers of the show Billions. He is also one of the writers of the movie Rounders, so he's an avid poker player. His podcast is an interview podcast where he interviews all different types of people. Sometimes he has had Daniel Negreanu and Phil Hellmuth on because, as I say, he's an avid poker player. But he has people from all different walks of life. Sometimes it'll be actors. It could be a chef, a lot of musicians, just all different types of people. But he's a really good interviewer. And the name The Moment comes from his fascination with the moments in people's lives, either where they hit great success or great failure, and how they negotiated their way through those moments in their life. So anyway, it's a great podcast. I listen to it every week, and you might want to check it out.
Very good. Thank you, Buddy Frank. Thank you, Richard Munchkin. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.